We're getting into the second week of a short sermon series titled Rediscovering God's Design for Work and Rest. We looked at God's design for work last week. If you missed that, you can catch it online. And we're going to be looking at God's design for rest today. And we will be looking at a smaller portion of the same passage that we looked at last week, Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. That's our Bible passage for today's sermon. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. This is the word of the Lord. Most of you have been, listening to my sermons week after week. If you've been part of New City Church for 2 or 3 years, you may assume that you have listened to my sermons more than anyone else, but you would be wrong. I preach to you only once a week at best, but there's someone else who's preaching to you five sermons every single week. Mumbai, this great city, has been preaching to you and me every single day. Each city preaches its own sermon. Every city has its own liturgy. Every city runs its own discipleship cohort. And so from Monday morning until Friday evening, Mumbai preaches its own false gospel to all of us. Relentlessly, Mumbai tells us that your worth is based entirely on how well you're doing in your work and in your careers. It tells us that your happiness is completely dependent upon how much money you make. It keeps telling us that somebody younger, smarter, cheaper, maybe even artificial intelligence may take your place tomorrow. It tells us that promotions do not wait. And it keeps telling us that if you slow down, someone else is going to take your place. All of these are many small lies of Mumbai that points to one ultimate lie that this city relentlessly preaches to us every single day. The greatest lie that Mumbai preaches to us is that we cannot afford to rest. Deep in our subconsciousness, Mumbai has persuaded that if you rest, if you deeply rest, you will lose out. Let me take this one level deeper. If your boss assigns you a project, the project itself may not be the greatest burden. But there are other narratives beneath the project that will weigh you down. Will my boss be happy with my work? Will I gain his approval? What if I fail? Will I lose out on my promotion if I don't do this well? If I do this well, will I get the full credit? Or will my boss take all my credit? Competitive as it is, Mumbai keeps filling our minds with all of these narratives. And if you really think about it, it is these deeper narratives that wear us down more than the actual work itself. It is these deeper narratives that drives us to work harder and harder and harder than the actual work itself. And it is these deeper narratives that make us deep inside afraid to rest. So we answer emails in trains and taxis. We work on Saturdays, Sundays. We take work calls over dinner. We work late into the night, and next day morning we wake up thinking, sometimes fearful about work. And as this continues, eventually we realize that we don't have any time or affection left for Christ. We neglect our spouses, our children, our health. Mumbai is called as a city that never sleeps, and it will not allow you to sleep either. And it is into this relentless, anxious, performance-driven city that the Bible speaks these surprising words. On the seventh day, God finished his work and God rested. These words are God's loving invitation to weary people to rediscover his beautiful design for rest. I'd like to draw three things for us from this passage. Rest is a creation rhythm. Rest is a redemption rhythm. Rest is a covenant rhythm. Creation rhythm, redemption rhythm, covenant rhythm. Let's start with the first. Rest is a creation rhythm. God rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. Why did God rest? Was God tired? Did God rest because he was tired? Of course not. God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. God never grows weary. God did not rest because he was tired. God rested because his work was complete. When he finished the work of creation, God saw that nothing was lacking. Nothing was unfinished. Nothing was missing. Everything was very good. God delighted in what he had made, and he enjoyed the goodness of his finished work, and God rested. Last week, we saw that our work flows from the image of God that we are created in. And similarly, because we are made in his image, God also invites us to enter into his same rhythm of rest. 6 days we shall work, and on the seventh day, in the image of God, we shall rest. Work and rest both flows from the image of God. God invited humanity to rest before painful toil and burdensome labor entered our world because of sin. And so, seen from this perspective, rest is not merely an adjustment we make for exhaustion in a fallen world, but rest is actually living out God's creation design for us to live in his own image. Rest is more than recovery. Rest is a celebration of this reality that we are made in God's image. To rest is to live in the image of God. If you've read the first chapters of Genesis, you'd have seen that whenever God worked at creating something, he stepped back and he saw that it was good. God created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and he saw that it was good. But look at verse 3. So God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy, because on it, God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. When God worked, he saw the product of his work and he saw that it was good. But when God rested, he blessed the seventh day and he made the day of rest holy. God called his work good, but he called the day of rest holy. Actually, if you notice, the first thing that God called holy is a day. The first thing in the Bible that God called holy is not a place, it's not a mountain, it's not a temple, it's not a people, it is a day. Before God made a holy people, a holy nation, or a holy temple, he first made a holy day, a day of rest. God called this day holy. Not only that, we see from the verse, he also blessed that day. What does it mean that God blessed this day of rest? One commentator puts it like this. He says, the seventh day, the day of rest, is endowed with a special quality that enables humanity to experience God's favor and presence. God is telling us there is something uniquely life-giving about entering into his rhythm of rest. I think John Calvin best captured why God blessed this day of rest. And this is what Calvin says. God blessed the seventh day so that it might be a perpetual witness that we were created, human beings were created, not merely for labor, but for fellowship with God through rest. So biblical rest is not just resting from our work. Biblical rest is communing with God through rest. We were created to fellowship with God through work, and we were created to fellowship with God through rest. We need both in healthy balance. Life is beautiful when work and rest dance together in God's creation rhythm. And that's the first thing I wanted to draw out for us, that rest is a creation rhythm. The second thing we're going to look at in this passage is that rest is a redemption rhythm. The same passage we read in Genesis 2, God repeats many times over in the Bible. And every time he adds more meaning to it. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. It seems exactly the same as Genesis 2, but go on, look at verse 15 in Deuteronomy. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. And this implies that the Sabbath or rest is a reminder of the freedom from slavery that God gave his people by bringing them out from Egypt. And if you read the New Testament, our deliverance from sin by faith in Jesus is often compared to how God delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt. And so just as the Sabbath reminded the Israelites that God freed them from slavery in Egypt, our rest reminds us that Jesus freed us from every bondage of sin and slavery. And so in the New Testament, rest is a reminder of our redemption. Our rest reminds us that we are redeemed by Christ. Rest is also a true test of my freedom. If I am unable to rest, am I really free? There's one more thing God invites us to see. Rest not only reminds us of our redemption, rest also reminds us of our sanctification. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 12. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbath as a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. God gave the rhythm of rest to his people as a sign that they may know that he is the Lord who sanctifies them, who transforms them, who makes them more and more like Jesus. And rest is an extremely important aspect of our sanctification, which is why we have work and rest as part of the discipleship wheel. We looked at that last week. We looked at that some more in more detail next week. Rest itself is not sanctification, but our ability to rest, truly rest, deeply rest, our ability to rest is evidence that we are indeed being sanctified. There are exceptions, of course. A new mom who is nursing her child is not going to get rest. Or if you are caring for someone who's unwell, it's very difficult to get rest. And so there are these exceptions. But apart from these exceptions, our ability to rest is evidence that we are indeed being sanctified. So rest is not only a creation rhythm, rest is also a redemption rhythm. And that brings us to the third and the last thing we're going to look at from this passage. Rest is a covenant rhythm. A covenant rhythm. God repeats the same invitation in Genesis 2, again in Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31 verse 16. Therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. Resting and keeping the Sabbath is like renewing a covenant with God. A covenant means a loving and a committed, absolutely committed relationship. Marriage, for example, is a covenant. In a marriage, a couple talk to one another, eat with one another, go out with one another, make love to each other. And these are all rhythms through which this covenant of marriage is enjoyed, is strengthened, it's deepened. Now imagine a couple who've been married for many years. Imagine they have breakfast, lunch, and dinner together. They work from home together. They cook together. They clean the house together, go shopping together, go to the gym together, work out together. They do everything together. They work together. But when night comes, they don't sleep together. One of them goes to sleep and the other stays up till 3 a.m., 4 a.m. and works. Where do you think this marriage is going? A marriage really works only when a couple work and rest together. Similarly, our communion with God is incomplete if we commune with Him only through our work and we do not commune with Him through our rest. And so rest is so much more than merely recovering from tiredness. Rest is the enjoyment of a special relationship between God and His people. Rest is a beautiful way in which we experience our union with Christ. Rest is so much more than a mere antidote to tiredness. Rest is living in the image of God. Rest is experiencing the freedom of God. Rest is evidence of my sanctification. And above all, rest is the experience of a covenantal relationship with God. And this is why gathering together to worship Jesus, abstaining from our work, letting our work be, but gathering together to worship Jesus on Sundays is so important to us. There is one more shade of meaning that God gives to rest in His what He's revealed to us in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. The writer in Hebrews is reflecting on exactly the same passage from Genesis chapter 2 that we are looking at this morning. And he says something remarkable. He says that God's rest on the seventh day, what we saw in Genesis 2, God's rest on the seventh day was pointing beyond itself. Hebrews tells us that that rest of God is pointing to a greater rest to come for us. He's inviting us to see that the deepest rest is not found in the Sabbath itself. The deepest rest is found only in the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus. The Sabbath was always pointing to Christ to come. And only in Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, can we ever have complete rest. Think about it. At creation, God finished his work and rested. At redemption, Jesus finished his work, said it was finished, rose again from the dead, and is now seated at the right-hand side of God. As he hung upon the cross, bearing the punishment for all of your sins and mine, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." These are not merely the final words of a dying man. This is the triumphant declaration of a victorious Savior. Christ had finished the work of atonement. He had finished paying in full your and my debt of sin. And therefore, because of what Christ did on our behalf, therefore, our work to prove ourselves before God is also finished. Christ finished on our behalf what we could never finish by ourselves. And now, because of what Jesus did, the truth is now we no longer have to prove ourselves even to God. Because Christ has earned his righteousness and he has given it to us. Because of Jesus, we no longer have to prove anything even to God. Listen, this is really important. If now, because of Jesus, we no longer need to prove ourselves even to God, then why should we carry this burden, this need to prove ourselves to anyone else? You see, this is how the gospel takes away the burden of all other narratives of approval and fear that run beneath the actual work that we do in Mumbai. Listen, the deepest reason we struggle to rest is not because we are busy. We're deceived. We just keep telling ourselves, "I can't rest because I'm busy." That's not true at all. We struggle to rest because we are still trying to prove ourselves. We're still trying to prove that we are worthy. We're still trying to prove that we are significant. We are still trying to prove to ourselves and to others that we are good enough. Do you remember all the narratives underneath our work, beneath our work that haunts us? Will my boss be happy with my work? Will I get his approval? What if I fail? Will I get full credit for if I do this well? When we know that we are fully approved by God himself through Christ, then these questions no longer control us. These questions no longer enslave us. We are free. In Christ, we are free to rest even as we continue to work joyfully and diligently. Now in Christ, we can rest not because our earthly work is finished. We can rest because Christ has already finished on our behalf the greater, the harder, the heavenly work of earning our worth before God Himself. We do not rest because we are successful. We do not rest when we become successful. But successful or not, we can freely rest because through Christ, we are already God's children. Loved, declared, worthy. This is the deepest meaning of gospel rest. This is the deepest meaning of Christian rest. Now let me ask you, can you put your phone away one evening without checking work emails? Or after you've really worked hard on a project, after you've worked really, really hard, done everything you can, when it is time to rest, can you actually rest, trusting God, trusting that God will help you finish the unfinished work the next day? Can you rest knowing you've done what you can for now and the rest is in God's hands tomorrow? Or would you rather carry tomorrow's burden today? At the beginning of the sermon, I said Mumbai preaches to you every day. When you leave the church today and enter the city tomorrow, Mumbai will once again be preaching to you. Again and again and again. It will relentlessly keep telling you that your future depends entirely upon your work. Again and again, Mumbai will keep telling you that you cannot afford to really deeply rest. Mumbai will never stop preaching. It will keep on preaching to you. But the question is, who will you listen to? Will you listen to Mumbai's call to keep striving without deep rest? Or will you listen to God calling you to His glorious rhythm of work and rest? Will you listen to God calling you to tuning your heart to Jesus? Mumbai will always tell you that your work defines you, but God tells us that we are made in His image. This city will keep telling us that we can never afford to stop working, but God says, as we heard this morning, be still and know that I am God. This city will keep telling us, produce, be productive. Christ tells us, abide in me. The city will keep telling us, perform, perform. Jesus says, receive. In a city like Mumbai, it takes a lot of faith in Christ to really rest. We do not rest because we have finally done enough. We do not rest because we have completed everything. No, we rest because Jesus has already completed everything. We do not rest because tomorrow is secure. We do not rest because your retirement is secure. We rest because Christ reigns over today and tomorrow. So how would you rather live? Do you want to endure more years of fearful and burdensome labor with hardly any rest? Or would you rather put all your faith in Christ, deeply rest in Him despite all the clamor of Mumbai, and then allow your work to flow from your rest in Christ? Cling to Jesus. Put all your faith in Him. Only in Christ can you experience the true meaning of work, and only in Christ can you experience true freedom to rest. Shall we pray? Father, help us, Lord. Help us, for the narrative in our hearts is all messed up. We have forgotten the gospel narrative. We've given in, Lord, to the narrative of the city. We say we believe in the finished work of Christ, but we are so stressed. We are so fearful, Lord. We are so insecure. We keep trying to prove ourselves. We keep trying to secure ourselves. Forgive us, Lord. And Lord, we know that the only thing can free us from carrying this burden, this heavy burden from all of life, is the gospel of Jesus. And so, Lord, help us to truly look at Jesus, to cling to Him, to believe in Him, to put all our faith, to put all our trust in Him, that we might live, work, play, and rest with freedom in this demanding city. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.